Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Rick Natchez will join us in a few minutes. Do not forget Baseball Central with yours truly and Joe Siddall at 11 bells. John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us. And yes, we'll ask him about the use of the bench last night. Stop sending me emails. Let's return our focus to the pucks. Norm in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What up, Norm?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No sweat.
Listen, the most important position in hockey is goaltending, okay? There's no other position. You can't hide. If you have a bad center or a bad winger or a bad defense, then you can hide them. You can, you know, lower their playing time. You can kind of bury that ugly mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a goaltender, whenever he makes a mistake, it's in the net. It's glaring. I think what Shiro is guilty of in Pittsburgh is, I don't know if he's getting advice from Crosby or from somebody else. I don't know if he likes the guy. I don't know if he's letting personal feelings get in the way. I don't know what it is. But in hockey, sometimes you got to be ruthless. Mm-hmm. And the goaltending in Pittsburgh is terrible. It's been terrible for a couple of years. They need to get rid of Fleury. And you know what? Asset management be damned. If they get nothing for him, they get nothing for him. You got to move on. Get yourself a decent goaltender. And that team would be a contender year after year, if not for that. You can't play. I mean, we saw it in the Tampa-Montreal series. You can't play when you're afraid to make a mistake. And that's how Pittsburgh plays. They get up 3-1 or 4-1 or 3-0, whatever, and then they start thinking, okay, but if I make a mistake, it's going to be 3-1. If I pinch here and I get caught, you know, a goal's going to go in. They can't play their game. And that's the problem.
It's funny too.
Stop the puck.
Yeah, I was going to say, Norm. I got an email from a guy who played in the NHL for a few years. He had a good career, not a long career, but the guy said to me, "Don't forget that," because my point about Pittsburgh seeming uncomfortable with the lead. He said, "Don't forget that if you're Pittsburgh, you're probably wondering how much of a lead is safe." And he was making the point, 3-0. Maybe if you got Marc-Andre Fleury and go, maybe you don't think 3-0's enough. Maybe you think it's got to be 4-0 or 5-0. So you press. So you continue to try to get goals. You take penalties. You make mistakes. And the other team takes advantage of it. Rick Natchez is the co-host of Hockey Central Saturday, also co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Rick Natchez, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Rick, there's a way you play when you have the lead in the playoffs, isn't there?
Most definitely. And I think, you know, we see it. I was listening to your comment about Pittsburgh, and I mean, as much as, you know, the bounce over the stick for Fleury and, you know, maybe the wrist shot from just inside the blue line, but you look at the saves he made in the second period. And we had Phil Bork on the show, the radio guy for Pittsburgh last Saturday, and I talked to him about, you know, they're healthy. Their defensemen are healthy, but I haven't liked Pittsburgh in their own end for 3 years. And I think they cheat, and, you know, they're on the wrong side of the puck a lot of times because they're that, you just mentioned, the offensive opportunities. And, you know, we always want to blame Fleury, and there's a lot of reason to blame him at times. But I think as a whole, defensively, Pittsburgh is a mess in their own end.
And it seems to me, too, that in addition to being a mess in their own end, which they are, it's odd. I look at the personalities in that team. I look at the pedigree of that team, and I don't feel that any leads safe. And yeah, Fleury's part of it, but it's, you know what it is, Rick. It's almost like I'm expecting, other than Malkin and Crosby, I'm expecting somebody to make a big mistake.
Well, you know, yeah, James Neal. I mean, guys. I mean, and you look at the other side of the red line. I mean, you can't complain about what they do then. But again, Jeff, and I say this a lot. I'm not sure if they had that balance. That one guy that, you know, Kunitz is supposed to be that guy with Crosby and whoever, you know, Dupuis when he was there, Pascal. But you know, that defensive guy that stays back and doesn't care about the points. You give the puck to your you know, the main guys, and you get your points anyways because they put it in. I'm not sure if Pittsburgh's makeup's like that as much as you'd think. And, And that certainly concerns me in the fact that they don't build the team that way. I know as much as, you know, everybody wants Crosby, and I'm not, you know, he hasn't scored, what, in eight games now in the playoffs?
Yep.
And I mean, great player. Let's not argue that. But I'm not sure that, you know, that he's a guy you need speed. So how do you get speed when you're playing with Crosby? You've got to take off early, in my eyes. And we talk about this with the Leafs all the time. Are they a fast team? Well, what's fast? That means, to me, cheat, right? That means cheat. So I see a Pittsburgh team that likes to leave the zone early. I saw it again last night where they think they might get it out and two guys are curling. We don't see a lot of stops and starts with that team as well. Keep the puck in front of you. That's one of the issues that, you know, that team has. And we talk about this all the time, Jeff. If you're not willing to stop and start and keep the puck in front of you and get in front of it, then it's going to be behind you. And when it's behind you, you're chasing. And when you're chasing in your own end, it's not a good thing.
Rick Natras joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. Rick, I want to shift focus a little bit to the Calder Trophy.
Yeah, no kidding.
And look, and there's
good players.
They're all good players.
Yeah, good.
But
players.
Rick, I mean, what happened to the defensemen? I mean, well, this is a golden era of young defensemen.
Well, that's what, and you hear every commentator, oh, he's playing good, it takes longer to develop. I mean, how many times have you heard that, Jeff, when you've talked about a young defenseman that's having a great year or a defenseman that's struggling a little bit or with his consistency? But you've got a couple guys, and I know you know, Jacob Trouba, you know, it's a big, strong play, 22 and a half minutes pretty much, 29 points, a plus four on a team that was, you know, average, really. You know, Winnipeg Jets is an average team, and to be a plus player on that team and play that many minutes, how can you not have another trophy now? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Every time you look at the stats, who has a good game? Well, he scored the winner, but he was minus three, but he scored the winner, so let's give him the star. Because it was overtime winner. You know, how many times have we seen that as a, you know, as an offensive player? But you also look at, like, an Olli Maatta, 78 games, 29 points, you know, played 18 and a half minutes. He was plus eight on a team that we talk about that doesn't play well on its own end. This kid plays very well on his own end, and I know where he came from London, the London Knights, and I think he's a player that got overlooked as well. Torrey Krug, a guy that scored a lot of points on the power play, 19, you know, six goals and 13 assists, but 40 points, you know, and he's playing 18 plus, he's a plus 18 and playing, you know, about 18 and a half minutes. So you've got guys like this, but the biggest one, and this is mine, and we don't see them, is Anaheim, is Hampus Lindholm. He's 78 games played, 30 points, plus 29, playing almost 30 minutes. Rookie defenseman. Playing for one of the best teams that everybody get up for and everybody wants to pound. And there's a kid that probably should be, if in my eyes, in that category as well as maybe Trouba. But again, we don't look at defensemen because of the fact is it's not pretty, right? Pretty is better, and the NHL likes pretty. And the NHL right now, I think it's like that Norris Trophy. You can win it, getting 80 points. You might be only, you know, a minus five or an even. But you don't have one for a guy that plays well on his own end as a defenseman. So that's an issue with me and certainly the Calder with these four young defensemen, as I mentioned, that had very good years, played a lot of minutes in crucial times, both specialty teams, and didn't even get a sniff.
We always talk about how important defensemen are. That one defenseman, I think one defenseman has won the Hart Trophy since 1972. There are five defensemen have won the Conn Smythe since Larry Robinson in 1978.
Al McGinnis, yep.
Yeah.
With us in 89, right? But Al could score, right? And not that, but everybody looked at Al and said, wow, he's got, well, look at his slap shot.
Yeah.
They never looked at his game inside the blue line, and it was very good. He played against all the top guys.
How do you rate, Rick, when you look at a rookie defenseman, when you look at a guy, at an elite rookie defenseman, a guy like Trouba, a guy like Jones or Lindholm, when you look at those guys, what says to you that this player isn't going to be a flash in the pan, that this is the way it's going to be, you know, barring injury? We have to throw that out there because you never know. But barring injury, this is a guy who's going to be here for a long haul. What says to you, you know, what separates those players from sort of the flash in the pan rookie?
Well, first and foremost, your second year is huge. You know, we talk about the, you know, the second year jinx or whatever you want to call it, because the NHL's It's interesting, right? As much as you have to study them as being a rookie and come into the league and learn everything, they study you. Every team studies you and looks at your tendencies. Can he turn to his left? Can he turn to his right? And we're talking defenseman here, of course. Can he, you know, does he have his head up coming around the net? All these issues. Can he close his gap? What kind of foot speed is it? Is his stance too wide so we can get him? So these kind of things the second year. And also the thing is, who are they playing him with? And how are they shielding him from, you know, really, you know, the aggressiveness of the National Hockey League? So if you're playing with a quality guy, say Weber, you know, just in Nashville, if you're playing with him and you're having a really good year, is it truly you're having that good of a year, or is it because he's a guy that can shield you? I got a great quote. You know, I played with Larry Robinson my first shift in the National Hockey League, right? And
right.
I'm nervous. And, you know, Montreal only takes one rookie. They took two that year. Guy Carbonneau, he played a year in the American League. I come right out of junior, which was a shock. I was in shock for almost 6 months there. Probably showed in my play, but I'm looking, and he says, kid, go stand in front of the net, take care of that, and I'll do everything else. And I'm like, thank you, Mr. Robinson. Because he meant it. Like, you know, keep it limited. And how do you get better as a young defenseman? Of course, you know, the keys are put them in situations. As the year goes on, you see how many of these situations that the organization or the coach is putting this young defenseman in, be it late-minute hockey games, be it on a crucial kill. These kind of things, and then you watch those type of tendencies. How does he compete in piles? What is his thought process when he's under pressure? And I just look at, you know, because the NHL is so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget it. There's so much video now. And even back in the day, Jeff, that there was not as much video, but they did it. You know, it was very prehistoric, but there was a lot of game tape there that was done. And they really take look at every player and see what tendencies they have. So I look at a young defenseman. The first years, I'm always, you know, saying, geez, that's good. He's got some great skating qualities, can shoot the puck. He's pretty headsy, but the second year, can he still do those things? And if he can do them the second year, and most times you're not going to have that great of a, as good of a year because you're not going to surprise anybody, but if you can stay as consistent as you were in the first year, I think you got a good shot at it.
Yeah, consistency is always a key. Rick, it was great of you to do this. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is Rick Natchez, co-host of Hockey Central Saturday, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Going to shift our focus to the Blue Jays. John Gibbons, manager of the Jays, will join us at 11:15. Pat Tabler, Blue Jays TV analyst, will join us next. We'll get you set for the third game of the Orioles-Jays series tonight. A little baseball when the Jeff Blair Show returns in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
So they're all tied up at 2-2, and for a variety of reasons, top seeds like Anaheim, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh have got to feel very uncomfortable this morning. So the question for you out of the gate, as you consider the St. Louis Blues, the Anaheim Ducks, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, which of these top seeds do you think is in greatest danger of falling out of the Stanley Cup playoffs? And because you're fans, which of the three, any of the three, would you like to see fall out? There's some remarkable numbers tied into this Pittsburgh Penguins series, including the fact, and kudos to Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun for pointing this out, including the fact that Sidney Crosby's now in a 9-game postseason goalless drought, which is the longest of his career. Now, he does have 4 assists through 4 games. He did not get a point in game 4. I got to tell you, I think the Penguins are going down. And it's not just on Marc-Andre Fleury. A lot of it is. But it's not just on Marc-Andre Fleury. Too many Marks. Mike Zeisberger, the columnist, the hockey columnist, the very good hockey columnist with the Toronto Sun, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show to get us started this morning. And Mike, you know what? I know you covered a lot of baseball in your time. I watch the Pittsburgh Penguins. They remind me of those old Atlanta Braves teams that Bobby Cox had. Great lineups, great starting pitching, horse crap bullpen. End of the day, horse crap bullpen trumps everything else. That's what I see with the Pittsburgh Penguins and Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I can see that analogy for sure. And the other thing, you know, you look at it, and a couple guys, you know, whether it be Rob Scuderi, who they brought in from free agency in the offseason, or Brooks Orpik, these are supposed to be your defensive defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just too many times where you find Columbus players standing in front of the net by themselves. The tying goal, yeah, you can blame Fleury, and I think that he deserves a lot of it for wandering behind his net, trying to get a puck with 22 seconds left. But when the puck hops over his stick and it's centered in front of the net, nobody is around Dubinsky. He's wide open. And we can, you know, we can say the same thing like earlier in the third period. I can't think of which jacket it was right now, but just busts in alone and rings one off the crossbar. And so, you know, I mean, the goals that Fleury lets in are deflating, but I thought up to that point he had played a pretty solid third period. But defensively, this team just can't hold the lead, but neither team can, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen a series where every game the worst thing you can do is get a lead.
Well, look, and you look around these playoffs, and there are a lot of goaltenders that have been no-shows. Ryan Miller last night was not very good. Corey Crawford, I mean, yeah, Chicago won in overtime. Corey Crawford's had better games.
Jonathan Quick, how's that?
Jonathan Quick has been, has been abysmal.
Well, you know what? I mean, this just shows you how screwed up my crystal ball is. I do rankings of the playoff goalies every year prior to the playoffs. And Jonathan Quick was my number one guy. I mean, they just finished winning the Jennings Trophy as the team and the goalie that allowed the least amount of goals. So, you know, that just goes to show you how quickly some of these guys are evaporating. It's incredible.
Mike Seisberger of the Toronto Sun joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Since winning the Stanley Cup in 2009, the Penguins are allowing almost 3.3 goals per game in the playoffs. That's generally not going to get it done. And what really surprises me about the Penguins, Mike, beyond some of the things we've been seeing is, It's almost as if they don't know how to play with a lead. Now, I might give Columbus the benefit of the doubt for that fold the other night because it's a playoffs. They've got a lead. They're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. But it's not like Pittsburgh hasn't been here before, and it's not like they're not used to playing with a lead. But it really seems as if they get almost overly aggressive when they have the lead.
No, you're exactly right, Jeff. But on the other hand, if you look at it, this is a disease that's kind of spreading throughout the entire National Hockey League playoffs. You look at the games last night, for example. You talk about how the Penguins blew that big lead. Anaheim goes up 2-0 in the first period on Dallas. They end up losing 4-2, and you know, St. Louis comes back from a deficit, actually takes the lead in the third period, only to see Brian Bickell score in the, you know, with something like 3 minutes left in the third period, and then the Hawks go on to win. So it's been, to me, just this rash of blown leads going through. It's almost like somebody has thrown away the blueprint of, you know, tight checking. And let's put it this way. When teams are coming back, even the defending Stanley Cup champions, on a Ken Hitchcock team, then you kind of know, you know what, something's going on here. But I have to say, for coaches, it's not very exciting. Obviously, that's the type of thing that's going to give them ulcers. But for the average hockey fan who used to, you know, moan and complain that the playoffs were only 1-0 games, and not that those are bad. Game one of Detroit-Boston was pretty good for a 1-0 game. But you're seeing goals, and you're seeing comebacks. And for entertainment value, I think it's been amazing for the first week.
Mike, of these three teams, Anaheim, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis, who do you think is most on the ropes? To me, it's St. Louis. I still think Anaheim. Again, we need to know the extent of the injury to Ryan Getzlaff, and we have to figure out what exactly is going on with Team Mussolini. But I watched Pittsburgh last night, and St. Louis last night. There's something about the Blues that just doesn't sit right with me, and Ryan Miller in particular.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, there's a lot of there's a faction of people that aren't sold on Ryan Miller, and their argument would be, what's he ever won? Now, it is a team sport. He did go to overtime at the Vancouver Olympics, but some would say there's a little bit of an odor trail on that golden goal that Sidney Crosby scored. But I can see St. Louis. I think, Jeff, you know, if Ryan Getzlaff is out for any extended period of time, I think Anaheim is in trouble. I have not really bought into the whole Anaheim thing since I give Bruce Boudreau all the credit in the world. But you look, they're playing musical goalies back there.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what he's going to do? Maybe he puts John Gibson in. Nobody kind of knows. So Solani, benching, I thought, not even dressing him, was a little bit of a head-scratcher. And you take Getzlaff out of that lineup, and all of a sudden, look at that roster, and I just don't see a lot of depth there. I know people have said, this is a four-line team, but I saw a team last night where Dallas really exploited the Ducks with their speed. And at the end of the game, you got Corey Perry dropping gloves with one of Dallas's third or fourth liners, and you just can't have that. I mean, they don't have, like I said, I don't see them having the depth, and that's the team that all of a sudden I think is has a lot of questions about it.
Mike, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff, and you can call me Mark anytime.
All right, especially early in the morning. Take care. That's Mike Seisberger of the Toronto Sun. I call him Mark, Mike. They all sound the same to me. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The hashtag to join the conversation on social media is Blair Show. And yes, because a couple of people have already fired in emails, we will be giving away a qualifier for our trip to Brooklyn to see the Nets and the Raptors in Game 4. We will be giving that away later on in the show. Tim and Sid will be giving it away as well. And by the way, don't want to miss this. Tim and Sid are going to have Charles Barkley on this afternoon. I don't know if there's another basketball commentator I most want to hear from than Charles Barkley. So again, Tim and Sid will have Charles Barkley this afternoon. That will be a must listen. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Anaheim, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, all tied at 2-2 in their series. Which of those three teams do you think is most in danger of exiting the playoffs? Who's losing their grip on the series? Columbus's overtime winner, a very weak goal allowed by Marc-Andre Fleury. And you can tell when a goalie exits the ice the way Fleury did. You can tell exactly what happened. Chicago winning in overtime. And Dallas looking very much as if they're really, really in the collective head of Anaheim. And Mike Seisberg is right. The benching of Timu Solani, not the benching, making him a healthy scratch. The revolving door and net, very odd. And bear in mind, and I always feel a need to tell people this when it's the playoffs and coaches make decisions that have some people scratching their head. We may presume that there are no health issues. we may hear from the players that there are no health issues. Ultimately, we really don't know. I'm just throwing that out there because I'm always reluctant when a coach makes a strange move in the playoffs. I'm always reluctant to hammer on the guy until you know whether or not there's something at work. Because the fact of the matter is they have more information than we do. Dave in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, which of those three teams, top seeds, although I think we could probably go back and forth about St. Louis and Chicago, which of those three teams do you think is most in danger of falling out?
Well, great question. I think realistically all three of them, but my number one would be Pittsburgh just because they can't win at home, and their next game is at home.
Mm-hmm.
And Columbus has got all the momentum going. They only really have to win one more game, which is in Pittsburgh, and they should be able to win one at home with the fans behind them. And I would say Pittsburgh, but I think all three of them might be packing their bags and hitting the golf clubs pretty soon.
What does it say about Pittsburgh and about... look, no one's going to start talking about Sidney Crosby's legacy because it certainly hasn't been finished yet. But this is a team that... I mean, you've had the best player in hockey for, what, 5, 6, 7 years? You should have at least one more Stanley Cup, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Well, I think they've had a couple of the top five hockey players with
Mark. True, yes.
Their biggest problem has been their goaltending consistently. I mean, I think, you know, they're like the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know what's going on in the state of Pennsylvania, but for some reason they keep relying on Fleury, and I think it's a big no-no. I think it's a big disaster.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It's really a case of, I don't even know if it's misplaced trust because I don't know what the options are for those three teams. But again, this is my conversation with Mike Zeisberger. I look back on my experience covering baseball, and it reminds me a lot of the Atlanta Braves teams under Bobby Cox. They were great teams. They were a dynasty. In some ways, they were an unfulfilled dynasty. They should have won more World Series. They came up short in at least three occasions. You can lay that entirely at the feet of a bullpen that wasn't good enough. And here you had a team with a once-in-a-generation starting rotation. You had Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, Steve Avery for a while. You had a terrific lineup. You had Chipper Jones. I mean, you had a good manager, a good field boss in Bobby Cox. Things lined up perfectly for the Braves. But time and again, they were done in by lousy relief work. And it really is remarkable. You do see that with organizations. The Philadelphia Flyers, same thing for the longest time. They've had good players. They just haven't been able to get that goaltender. And they, the Flyers, have been guilty of having misplaced faith in a lot of different goaltenders. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Dave in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, pals. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
Listen, you kind of touched on it as I was calling in. When coaches make these strange moves in the playoffs, you know when the series ends, they're going to come out and say, well, Timu had a cracked ankle, or, you know, Getzlaf broke his spleen. Like, these moves don't happen because of the coach being ticked off at a play or them not playing or stepping up. The playoffs are the most intense physical playoffs in all of pro sports, and whenever someone's sick or there's a weird, strange move by a coach, you know the other players hurt. Remember Bergeron with his spleen and his ribs?
Mm.
Then they were like, why are they only playing him 3 minutes, 4 minutes a game? Well, that's why. All these guys are so banged up. The season is far too long, and even if you're a young guy, your body breaks apart. It's on you.
Well, and you know, the only thing I would say about that, and I agree with you, but the other thing too, the fact that Timo Solani's kid sent out that tweet about Bruce Boudreaux being sent down to Norfolk of the American Hockey League. I mean, that was pretty funny. That would probably indicate, I mean, I'm hoping the kid at least said, Dad, are you feeling okay, before he sent out the tweet. But even then, you know, again, we have to bear in mind that it's entirely possible Bruce Boudreaux saw something that he didn't like that suggests to him that there's a health issue. And I always make this point. You hope your athletes are honest with you. When you're a coach, you hope if you go up to a guy, look him in the eye and say, are you okay to go? And the guy responds yes or no. You hope you're getting an honest answer. But the fact of the matter is, how many professional athletes in the playoffs are going to look you in the eye and say, I'm not ready to go?
Zero.
So sometimes you've got to make that call as a coach. Sometimes you've got to say, hey, this is my years of experience. My eyes are telling me this. So, but yeah, again, I think we always need to hold that out there as a possibility, Dave.
Yeah, fair enough. But do you think Timo would get a pass for being Timo?
Well, this is the thing. Boy, if I'm Bruce Boudreau, Timo Solani's basically got to be unable to walk for me not to have him in the lineup.
I agree. Totally.
Even just for his presence in the power play alone.
Yep.
All right, Dave, I appreciate the call. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Jason McNeil, Pens lost their grip 3 years ago. This is not shocking. At least it shouldn't be. Mike Verdeely on Twitter. And again, use the hashtag Blair Show. Watching some of these so-called powerhouses makes me feel better about my Leafs. Bernier, Kessel, JVR, Riley, a good start. Doesn't that say everything about the optimism of Leafs fans? That they can take comfort in the agony of other teams. I have no name here with the caller from Burlington. I have a blank screen. But my guess is it's going to be Sandy. I'm saying Sandy in Burlington. How are you, Sandy?
Good morning, Jeff. Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Isn't it amazing how I knew your name?
Spurs fans, we all think alike.
All right.
Like being a Leaf fan, they eventually let us down anyway. The point is, I think this is just Pittsburgh's out. The fact that Malkin and Crosby aren't having a good series right now, and Letang may not be 100% up to par. Subpar goaltending has been letting them down for years, and it's just showing now because the other guys aren't performing the way we're used to.
Aren't you surprised, though, Sandy, as well, that this team just, they seem uncomfortable with the lead? It's almost like they don't know what to do with it. It's strange. Well, except take a lot of penalties.
You're afraid to make even one mistake because you know what's coming next. Whereas if you've got a goaltender like, let's say, a Hiller when he's playing well, or a Carey Price, you know that they're going to bail you out. And the other thing with Solani and Boudreau, I think, Gabby's been around long enough. Mm-hmm. There's a sound reason for keeping Solani out that we're just not hearing about. And I think you're right. I think it might be an injury.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. And I don't know, Sandy, if you saw his post-game news conference. He was very abrupt in answering questions about Solani and about the other move he had to make, saying, you know, when Getzlaff was gone, I felt we needed a center, and then he just moved on. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think we've got to. I mean, Bruce Boudreau's not an idiot. We know that. And let's wait and see what the whole story is here before we start throwing him under the bus totally. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I'll let you know what's happening on the show. Rick Natras, co-host of Hockey Central Saturday, will join us at 9:40. I want to talk to Rick about the Calder Trophy nominations. Is there a problem with nominating a defenseman here? No disrespect to the three guys who are finalists, but how the hell is Jacob Trouba not... How is he not one of the three finalists? I mean, this is such a great year for rookie defensemen. How is he not one of the finalists? We'll talk to Rick about that as well as more playoff talk. Pat Tabler, Blue Jays TV analyst, is going to join us after that meltdown last night. A lot of issues with Dustin McGowan, a lot of very concerning things said after the game from Dustin McGowan that I think have really... Well, they ought to give the Blue Jays cause to think about where they're going with their rotation as if they need another reason to do that. And in Baseball Central, 11 o'clock, Joe Siddall's going to join me. John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us for his regular Thursday session. And a really cool story on FanGraphs about the strike zone and left-handed hitters. And how left-handed hitters get screwed by umpires in the strike zone. It's an interesting article. I would urge you read it. David Cameron is the writer. He is the managing editor and senior writer with FanGraphs. He is going to join us to discuss the article. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Jody in London, here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Anaheim, St. Louis, Pittsburgh. Which of those three is going down?
Hey, Blair, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
No worries, man.
Yeah, Pittsburgh should be fine. Anaheim will be fine.
Why should Pittsburgh be fine?
Wow, they're going to score some goals. You know, they kind of cop that one up. They'll be fine. They won't be fine in the second round, I'll tell you that, though. But St. Louis is going down. I'll tell you, the top seed going down in the first round will be Colorado with that awesome trade, Cook for Barry for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Minnesota probably sweep the rest of that series. And hey, just to touch on your little, that is Jacob Trouba. I think all three nominees for the Calder all have 20 or 25 goals. That's how Jacob Trouba wasn't nominated, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they're all, I can see them being worthy, but I look at the year that kid had, look at the number of minutes he played, look at the role he played. I don't know. I wonder if it's just very hard. It's hard for a rookie defenseman to have a type of year that really grabs everybody's attention. I thought that in an era of analytics in particular, that maybe people would turn their attention a little more towards the defenseman. Yeah, it's not like Nathan McKinnon's a slam dunk. It's not like the two other guys are stiffs by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't know. I just find it interesting because everybody kept saying what a great year it was for rookie defensemen. We don't know one of them among the finalists. Maybe that's just me. But I kind of assumed one of those guys would be there. Dave in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Anaheim, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. Who do you think goes down of those three teams?
Good morning. Pittsburgh's in a heck of a lot of trouble. That roster is very questionable. I never did think that they were a cup contender. I always thought they were a team that was a pretender. And I think you really have to look at, you remember Glenn Sather said this, and he's quite accurate. There are teams that go for the Stanley Cup, and then there are teams that want to be in the playoffs. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are a team that wants to be in the playoffs and doesn't really want to go for the cup. And I'll give you an example, okay? And you know how I love to do the Vancouver thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team that was offered Ryan Kessler and could have had Luongo, and it was Matta and some defenseman that they had, some kid, Parati or something. Not much, like, you know, whatever, a couple of kids. But the fear in Pittsburgh was always, what happens if we go for the cup and we don't have our prospects and then we're in bankruptcy again? And so to me, they're a team that has decided to use Malkin and Crosby to get in the playoffs, but not to surround them with a good goalie. They could have had Luongo for a first-round pick. No, we're gonna have this guy. He's okay in the playoffs, or okay in the regular season, gets us to the playoffs, but you know that he collapses like a cheap tent in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Sather's always said that. He said there's only three or four teams that actually go for it. You know, St. Louis is a team that's, I guess, after, you know, close to 50 years, they've decided they're going to go for it. And you can recognize it. The Rangers, they're a team that's going for it. They've traded all their young players, and they said, we're all in. And Pittsburgh, to me, is a team that I always thought was a paper tiger because they just did not want to part with those prospects to get guys that can help them for the now. And that Columbus team, boy, they've got them on the ropes. And when does Horton come back?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I'll tell you this too, Dave. I wonder how much, and you talked about Ryan Kessler and Roberto Luongo in particular, but I wonder how much influence Sidney Crosby has over some of the decisions that are made by this team. I've got to think he has a fair amount. I mean, this team has got a tradition of sort of allowing its star player to have a say in player moves, and a lot of teams do that. I mean, I'm not saying that the general manager doesn't make a move unless he calls a star player, but that was part of the case with Mario Lemieux. It was a little bit when Jaromir Jagr was there, not as much, and now with Sidney Crosby there. There's always been that sort of that direct line between star player and owner, star player and head office, or star player and the management suite. Now, I wonder about that. You know, I look at Pittsburgh, I look at Dan Bylsma, and I think of two things. One, I see an organization that had better be careful because its window of opportunity. It may think its window of opportunity to win the Stanley Cup exists as long as Sidney Crosby's in uniform. But I think they're going to be surprised at how quickly that window can close on them. And the other thing, too, is it's pretty clear that Dan Bylsma, I think, is a terrific coach. But it's pretty clear that he's overstayed his welcome there. They need a fresh voice. They need a fresh set of eyes. I mean, I'm sorry. You watch that team play a game like last night, and you've got Malkin. You've got Crosby. You've got a guy like Kunitz who can score goals. You've got decent second line guys. You've got decent defensemen. And they looked terrified with the lead. They made a lot of really stupid decisions with the lead. And that's not a team that's in the playoffs for the first time. That's not a team with the deer in the headlights look. That's not Columbus. Columbus looks more composed in a lot of ways than Pittsburgh does. And I find that absolutely shocking. Tom in Ajax, very quickly, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. Out of the three teams you mentioned, I think Anaheim's in the most trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say because, first of all, their coach's track record in the playoffs, Bruce Boudreau blew a lot of leads and a good team with Washington, and they did it again last year when they lost in the playoffs in Anaheim. And goaltending there, Dallas has the better goaltending right now. Looks like Kari Lehtinen's coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have Ryan Getzlaf, I mean, you just talked about Crosby. Ryan Getzlaf was the second leading scorer in the NHL, and he's a great two-way player. So if he's out, I would throw dirt on Anaheim and say they're definitely going to lose. And if he comes back, it still might be a toss-up.
Tom, I appreciate the call. Yeah, and Dallas looks like a team that's having an awful lot of fun. And maybe that's because the expectations are relatively limited for them, and it's always a dangerous thing, right? A team with limited expectations, a team that's kind of happy to be there. I wouldn't say just happy to be there, but I think the Dallas Stars are, I mean, they would already consider this season a success. Now they're looking around, they're going, hey, this is fun. And plus, we've got a stud goaltender. If we can have fun, we might win this thing. And then Ryan Getzlaf, God love him. He's a terrific player, but I don't know what the hell he was doing getting involved in a scrum with, you know, wearing a protector for his jaw. I mean, I'm sorry. Sometimes hockey players just do incredibly stupid things. That's one of them. It's the playoffs. It's the first round. There's a lot to go. You don't need, you're Ryan Getzlaf, for God's sake. You don't have to make your bones wading into something involving the Dallas Stars. Just play your game, get your goals, get some points, get the hell out of there, get ready for the next series. It's very odd. The reaction from Anaheim and Pittsburgh, two teams with star players, two teams that know how to play with a lead, two teams that have a lot of experience. And, man, they got the deer in the headlights. It's not Columbus that has the deer in the headlights look. It's certainly not Dallas that has the deer in the headlights look. There is an art to playing with the lead. Rick Natchez played for several teams that seemed to spend 59 minutes of every game holding on to a one or two goal lead or a three goal lead. That's what it's like when you play for the Montreal Canadiens. Rick Natchez is also the co-host of Hockey Central Saturday in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Rick Natchez is going to join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.